we will call the September 15th Rogers Waterworks
and Sewer Commission meeting to order. The first item on our agenda would be the review and action on the minutes from our meeting of August the 18th. Those were sent out in our packet. Questions, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve as presented.
Motion to approve.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve those minutes. We'll move now into reports. The first is financial report. Here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right. Well, this will be our work month of August. Bill revenue and consumption, and the water department. Bill revenue in total for water in the month of August was $2.23 million. In total, that bill revenue is up 4.5% compared to bill revenue from August of 2024. If you just look at the revenue associated with consumption, it's up 3.3%, while consumption itself is down 1%. On the sewer side, billed revenue in total is at $1.95 million. Billed revenue, that's up 13.3% from the prior year, with revenue associated with consumption up 8.1% and consumption itself up 5.7%. It's kind of a similar split to what we had last month in terms of the consumption, with water kind of trending down a little bit and sewer trending up. When I see that, I guess I think about what kind of water is being used or what's not being used, right? And so if you think about an irrigation meter, it would be charged water, but it wouldn't be charged sewer. So I just think, well, if we had more irrigation meters consuming more water, then we'd see an uptick on our water number here and no effect on sewer. So that had me curious, and I went and I looked at our vacation irrigation meters. Not in use and not being billed right now. So at the end of August, we had 1,314 of those, 1,314, and that's 22% more than we had August of 2024. So there's more people, 22% more vacationed irrigation meters than this time last year. Folks aren't using their irrigation meters as much. So
I just want you to know that I work mine overtime. So I was trying to pick up the slack.
You're doing your part.
I was doing my part. You know, it's kind of interesting because I would have thought, because we had that July to August 15th was a really dry period, which is kind of surprising that I would have thought we'd had a higher consumption. But
it was wet earlier in the year, and I feel like some people just decided early on, you know what, I'm just going to leave that thing.
It's going to go brown.
Yeah.
Well, turn mine off.
Well, I did. Sorry, I forgot my bill. Well, good. Thank you for looking into that, because I was a little bit surprised, because again, I felt like that our July to August, those were some dry periods, really to the more August. So it's kind of surprising.
I will tell you, I fit in here. I didn't turn mine on at all this year, so I may do.
I may not. But thank you.
Moving on to actuals versus budget, August is 2 months of the way through the year, so 2 divided by 12 means 17% for our benchmark. Looking at the water fund, both revenues and expenses are trending over that at 18%, and water capital outlay is 6% of budget. On the sewer side, revenues are trending a little bit under our benchmark at 16%, expenses right on target at 17%, and the capital outlay year-to-date at 4%. In terms of our year-to-date income or loss, in the water department, year-to-date income is $1.1 million. That's down compared to last year by 17%, but it is 19% of what we budgeted in terms of our FY26 net income. On the sewer side, net income is $1 million. That's, again, down from last year, 16%, but it is 15% of our FY26 budget. That 15% marker there, again, if you go back to our benchmark of 17%, you can say sewer income year-to-date is tracking a little bit below the benchmark. I've got a couple notes in here too about our FY25, that is the prior year financials. As we continue to work through our year-end process, we had auditors in the office for a few days of the past 2 weeks. Answer some questions for them, and they'll have more for us, I'm sure, but I think most of their work from now on is going to be from their office rather than here. But we have reduced net income from the last time that I presented the FY25 numbers, and I did just want to make a couple of remarks on those just to give you guys an update. So they have to do with recording additional depreciation expense and a loss on disposal of some fixed asset records. So you see there for depreciation expense, we've recognized additional expense of $190,000 in water, $350,000 in sewer. And there's a couple of components to that. One is just the fact that we will always count on a year-end adjusting entry. We have a fixed assets module in our financial system where all of our fixed assets are kept and maintained, and periodically we need to do an adjusting entry to make sure that our general ledger reflects the accumulated depreciation that our fixed assets module shows. Typically, what we're posting each month for general ledger is just going to be the budgeted depreciation. But then at least twice a year, we want to true that up and make sure that it's as close to what our fixed assets module is telling us so we can get it. So we do that in the middle of the year and then at the end of the year. And so part of this is related to that adjusting entry. For water, it was additional depreciation at expense of $165,000. And for sewer, it was $294,000. Which sounds like a lot, and it is, and ideally it'd be expense that we'd recognize throughout the year rather than at the end of it. But I will just say that we're at least trending in a better direction because the adjusting entry we made last year was $250,000 in water and $1.3 million in sewer. So these are smaller than those numbers, and I'm happy for that at least. That just indicates that we've done a marginally better job of spreading that depreciation expense over the year rather than having to sort of recognize it at the end. But the other component that's gone into that is just that accounting has worked hand in hand with engineering over the past few weeks, taking a really close look at our construction in progress list of projects. And engineering, for their part, has been communicating a lot with the City of Rogers on our joint street projects we've got with them. Some of those are just older projects, and anybody looking at that list of construction in progress, and the last time that we made a payment on some of those things would fairly ask, hey, what's the status of this thing? Shouldn't this be on your books as a capital asset and be depreciated by now, or in the process of being depreciated? And so over the past couple of weeks, we identified a number of projects that we may have a retainage payment left on them at this point, but they are substantively in use, as such should be capitalized and depreciation being recorded and all of that. So that's also contributing to the depreciation expense that you see here, as we did end up capitalizing some additional assets. And then we had a loss on disposal of some fixed asset records. We had some meter records that no longer represented meters that were actually in the ground. We began a meter replacement project in FY17. As of the end of the fiscal year, June 30, the operations team told us we had about 1,100 meters still on the ground, which is not many of the roughly 35,000, I guess, that we have. So that's mostly done. And if we started that project in FY17, then any fixed asset records dated earlier than that probably shouldn't be on our books anymore, right? So we had fixed asset records that were active dating back to FY09. So 09 to 16, we took a look at. We opted to leave on our books the FY16 meters as sort of a proxy for those that are still in the ground to be replaced this year, while the fixed asset records for FY09 to FY15 we thought should come off our balance sheet. If they're not in the ground, they shouldn't be on our balance sheet, right? They were not fully depreciated. We had used 15-year life, in some cases even 20-year life on some of those things, which is too long. And so because they had not been fully depreciated, we hadn't recognized all that expense, we had to report a loss and dispose of those fixed assets. So that's the $550,000 that you see split between water and sewer. So additional depreciation expense, a loss on some disposal of assets, and that is reducing the net income that will end up in FY15. I'll go ahead and show you on this page, you know, that sort of middle column there is FY25. Come down here and we're looking at $4.59 million on the water side compared to our budgeted net income of 4.8. So we do drop just a little bit below our budgeted net income for water. And then if you come down here and look at sewer, $7.95 million compared to $7.98 was our budgeted net income.
Here, those, I mean, they're significant numbers, number one. Depreciation is non-cash, so we're not, it's not necessarily any cash fees.
Right.
But were these things that came about as we, because we've changed auditing groups, are these things that came out in their review in maybe how we've done it? I mean, it's a good thing because we, when you change, you've got a new process, new procedure. I just wonder if those things were fleshed out as you went through
that. The thing that came out from the auditors that helped us was if an asset is substantively in use, it should be capitalized. We were thinking we'd wait for the retainage payment to be made before we capitalized it. They said if it's in the ground and you're using it, you should probably just count on it being capitalized. But the other parts, just about the year-end adjusting entry and the closer look at meters, that's just stuff that we came across as we went through our year-end process.
I did notice on, we'll get into it later on our agenda, that we had one of those items that came from 19. It's a payment to the city, so I didn't know if it was something that, as we start going through those records, that something that, you know, as we clean up, I guess.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, we're, our infrastructure and the way that it's recorded is such that you're probably never going to be able to identify exactly which piece of pipe, for instance, came out of the ground. I mean, we don't record it in our fixed assets module to that level of detail. So inevitably, there's going to be some types of fixed assets that they're just going to remain on our books in perpetuity. Eventually, they'll be fully depreciated. So you'll have the asset value, but you'll also have the accumulated depreciation offsetting that. So the net impact on our books is zero, but it's just one of those things that it's hard to figure out, like, what's going to be the trigger to take both of those things off the books, you know, the asset and the accumulated depreciation. But meters, even though meters is hard to track too, at least it's something we could get our hands around in terms of, hey, we know we had a replacement project that started in FY17. So logically, anything on our books before then probably shouldn't be there anymore.
Yeah, that meter change out was a good reconciliation.
The meters are all, I'm assuming there's numbering, there's a way to, I mean, to track it, kind of like inventory, you're tracking in, tracking out. I mean, if you track it in, you've got a number. If you track it, you know where it's in the ground.
But in terms of recording, like, those serial numbers as we are recording fixed asset records, just
hard to do.
That's an administrative level of detail that we've not tried to wade into, you know.
Okay. And it is, those are sizable adjustments.
Right.
There are adjustments that need to be made. And again, the depreciation, it's not a cash, it's the non-cash piece.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
So we'll finish up here. Access and impact fee revenue, we collected $248,000 in August. So we're sitting at $528,000 on the year between water and sewer. That's 16% of what we collected in total for FY25. It's 13% of our current year budget. So again, if you think of 17% as our benchmark, we're tracking a little bit below that for access and impact fees 2 months into the year. Cash reserves in total is $57.9 million. That is up $5.9 million from this time last year. And of our purchased water, 7% is unaccounted for. I'll do it for me. Sorry for the extra time, but there were a couple things in there. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update, make sure we were being transparent, especially with the FY25 numbers for you.
It's a good report. Thank you for digging into the water numbers. Questions, comments on finances? Y'all, here, thank you. All right, next item would be our engineer report. Brian.
Hey.
A couple of weeks ago, we held a high school out here in this room and out of the yard. We had a couple of requests from engineering firms, Olson and Kraft and Toll. They got a lot of younger designers, mostly in lab development, and just want to dive into water and sewer and kind of what we do every day in operation and maintenance and what we're responsible after, you know, after the sewers, water and sewer in the ground and we take it over. So our field operations guys set up some demonstrations back here. Everybody did a really great job. Our inspection staff was out there showing everybody fittings and how things should go together, and it was an eye-opener for some of these younger engineers, and we want to make this kind of a regular thing. And
would you put me on the list next time you have that class at Pine School?
Absolutely.
Yes, I saw that. I think it would be I think it'd be fun to see how that gets. We know it's there, but to see how it's done. So
you have to wear steel tip boots.
I can find some. But yeah, that was, it looks like it was a good day.
It was absolutely a good day. So we'll do that. We'll make that a regular thing. And those engineering firms had requested that training. I think next time we do it, an invite, and you know, if we can handle 30 to 40 people, we can do that. So,
well, it's another thing that we take for granted. We all did.
A little update on our Western transmission main. We're basically separated this project into two sections. There's an area from the Beaver Western Corridor pump station up to Highway 264 going from Lowell right there. And that section is pretty, we have authorized the appraisal company to go out and get appraisals. So that's being done currently on the north section. Of course, and I've mentioned this a couple times, is that we're in this kind of critical groundwater recharge area in this karst region upstream of Cave Springs. And so, you know, we've spoken with U.S. Fish and Wildlife a couple of times, and it sounds like the best thing to do is going to be to purchase mitigation credits, which is basically an insurance policy against, you know, hitting some of these minor karst features. But we do also, we're looking at some technologies that will identify any major features that has the ability to stop a project in its tracks. And so we're working on getting a quote from a couple of these companies that do this electrical resistivity testing that should give us a clue about if there's any large voids underground that we might hit. So that's kind of got us on a hold on the design on the north portion of this project. But again, we are moving forward with those easement acquisitions on the south.
How would we have known that, though? I mean, in terms of the location of that and the overall map, but I mean, we've had an interstate highway that had to be rerouted because of that. That's been a number of years ago. But do we not have a general feel for this district, this area, and stay away from it? Or is it just, is it all over and you can't miss it?
It's in different zones. And so I think there's four different zones from kind of low risk to, okay, you know, high risk, high criticality recharge zone. And so that was one of the considerations when we chose this route.
Okay.
And I hate to say it, but there's not a really good route to get there.
And I think that's where I was probably coming back to. There isn't a good way to do it, but this is the best of the maybe least good ways to do it.
I think so. I think it's at this point it's an exercise in identifying risk and alleviating that risk. And if, you know, if we do find some major features and we know that this is going to be, you know, something that can stop a project in its tracks, at that point, we'll say, okay, well, we can go up Rainbow Road and down Shores, and there may be some other ways to go, but we're going to be dealing with other things like, you know, tearing up finished streets and getting into people's privacy fences and all kinds of stuff like that.
Okay.
We did receive the smoke testing results from a trek that was done in July. They had smoke tested 97,000 feet of sewer main, and if you're at some areas out here on the east side of town, as well as some areas where the tornado had come through, some more shallow areas that we suspected the uprooting of some trees may have affected the sewer services. So what we found was about 245 gallons a minute worth of II abatement. The vast majority of that was on the private side, so we found 70 projects, mostly uncapped and broken cleanouts, service line defects, one downspout connection, and then 14 public side defects, manholes, main lines, things like that. So, you know, the vast majority of these defects that we're finding are on the private side. We'll be working to address those on the public side and on the private side.
That's not too terribly bad.
It's not bad. And Trek even mentioned that this is, for some of these older parts of town that haven't played live, this is fairly tight. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm kind of glad that it's tight, but at the same time, I know Todd's dealing with some major II, and I really want to find this stuff. But to that note, our field operations did find a major inflow source on one of our large gravity mains, kind of out over there behind Home Depot. We had a manhole had a major defect, and it was pretty much draining half the creek back there. And so they're working on that. So they really like it when we find those unicorns every once in a while, but. Really, for the smoke testing, it's kind of business as usual, nothing major, but, you know, we're more defects that we can work on and are made aware of.
That's good.
And the project status, of course, we've got pollution control improvement project, and I will be presenting the design contract for that project today. We have Jason Cochran with Fries & Nichols is here with a good portion of his office today, so we'll be able to answer any questions you might have about that. We did receive three bids this month for 4th Street water and sewer improvements, Blossom Way sewer lining, and I will point out that This is the emergency repair behind the hospital, and this is one contract that we're going to be executing to solve our problem. So this is the lining contract. This is the pipe that is in good enough structural condition to accept lining. There is some pipe that is beyond lining. It has structural failures in it. It will need to be and replaced, and that's likely going to be the more expensive, less footage, but more expensive and more expensive project of the two. And finally, we have the asphalt rehab repair project. And also highlighted the sewer flow monitoring plan. We purchased equipment to have Trek install and integrate into our software so that we can monitor these sewer flows all over town. We did get that in, and we're just coordinating with the manufacturer to make sure these are installed and calibrated in a way that they're going to read correct. That should be done within the next few weeks. I did want to point out here that I know there were some questions regarding, because we did budget items in this meeting, and the commission every year approves our fiscal year budget. And so you have that 1 year window that we're looking at. During our capital planning project, when we're doing these rate studies, you know, we're looking at about 9 years down the road, and so at least 5 years, we've got a pretty good idea of what we need to be budgeting for from a 30,000 foot view. And so the 4th Street project and especially the pollution control facility project are going to be multi-year projects, and so we'll be presenting an $11.5 million engineering proposal today. We budgeted $7 million this fiscal year. This will be an 18-month design contract, and so a lot of it will bleed over into the next. We budgeted $12 million total. And it's the same thing for 4th Street. We budgeted $1.7 million this year, this fiscal year, and that will be a one-year contract. So again, it'll bleed over into next year.
Brian, I appreciate you doing that. You're looking at just the dollars that we are being asked to approve. The sewer plant at $11.5 million, but you, between the other two, between 4th Street and Blossom Lane, you've got about, you know, $4.5 million, almost $5 million. And in my mind, I went back and pulled the budget. What do we have in that budget in those numbers? You know, because you look at that, and it's year over year, but when you take, because these projects don't start and stop in a year. So thank you for doing that. And anybody else that wants that, I was just going to, we're going to spend a lot of money today. And my first question was, is it all budgeted and do we have it all covered? So thank you.
I believe 4th Street, we're going to budget about $2 million for that project. It came in at $2.5 million, but I'm confident that there's other areas that we can shift some money around there. Yeah. But definitely have covered. And Jared and I maintain kind of an ongoing spreadsheet. We meet about every 2 months and, you know, say, okay, what the bids actually come in at. And so we keep that updated on a regular basis. And that's looking out to, I think, 2032, somewhere in there. So.
Okay.
And also, I did mention that we had we were using some new project management software, and so I was trying to find a good way to present this in a slideshow, but this is the project planner that we're using, and you know, that this has Gantt charts associated with it, and so. So we have different tasks for every project and subtasks, and then we can it'll notify us if some of those tasks are running behind or late. So hopefully this will keep us a little bit more on track on our catches.
Keep going. What you're telling me is we can go as deep in these projects as we want to go if we have a question. Thank you.
August plan review is a pretty busy month, 166 plan sets total. We usually run between 140 and 150, so a lot of things happening right now, and I've got that list in there if you have any specific questions.
And how many times you have to look at some of them.
Commission all that, unless you have any questions.
Good work, thank you.
Any questions?
Thanks, Brian.
Okay. All right, next item, pollution control facility. Todd?
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon. You know, this is my other cost to talk. I had to submit this last bit of data in. And I'll go into more about that here in a moment. The ones that were not in yet was our phosphorus and our ammonia. And while they were elevated and high, they did meet permits. So one of the few times where you'll hear me say the plant did not do very well at all, that it didn't make permit that month.
But that's a good thing, Todd.
It was a struggle, but we made it. I was actually a little bit surprised that we made it. But I thought our 7-day max would be in that last week, and it was. But I didn't know if we'd make it or not. But we did. Hopefully this week that we haven't heard back yet, we did as well. But we won't know that for a little while. Not a whole lot significant in our fog notes, but. In our industrial pretreatment, some very significant events. These last half of August and July, or last half of July and a little bit of August, the Tysons on Elm, and then more critically or more significantly, what we've seen was the Tysons Chicken Click. They're the ready-to-eat plant. Let's just say there were some miscommunications before they started their project, and they hit us with significantly more loading than what we were anticipating. And when I say significant, the influent to the plant, not their effluent, the influent to the plant was doubled on their loading. So remember, I talk about there's basically three capacities at the plant. There's a hydraulic, there's a treatment, and then there's a solids handling. That loading, it affects both our ability to treat as well as handling. So even if we are able to treat it, can our solids handling pull that out? And those two compound each other, like they kind of hold hands. The more solids, or the more biology or solids that we have in the system, the more oxygen demand that there is. So the load itself has an oxygen demand, and then our biomass has an oxygen demand. And just to be frank with you, we didn't have enough aeration to be able to keep up. We had everything going out there 100% for a couple of weeks, really, before we could figure out what's going on.
It's also created extra cost. So I hope that we're tracking all of that, and that at some point there's a sit down with the leadership at Tyson at this particular facility to say, okay, these are the extra costs, and maybe hopefully they'll do the right thing and say, okay, we'll step up. Sounds like now the communication's going, but up to that point, if they had let us know, it sounds like it could have been handled better on the front end. We'd have known it may still be in the same situation. But I just encourage, I mean, it sounds like, and it's like you always do, you make things work.
Right.
But I would just say, I'd want to know all those expenses, the extra expenses. You said something about, you know, the solids, and keep track of it. And at least, I don't know, if you present them a bill, or at least have communication with them that they created it, we solved it, but it cost us more. And I think the fair thing to do would be for them to write a check and make it right. So those are my thoughts. I don't know all the details.
Because our guys are working 24/7. They need to be paying.
That's just one commission member. I just think that it sounds like a lot of things, there's a lot of details I don't know, but we made it work.
It is being addressed. We are speaking to the correct people who can make those decisions. I don't know if we have a full commitment yet in that regard, but they're working with us, and I think they'd be at least amenable to hearing this.
Well, I mean, we could have taken, I mean, there's probably a number of opportunities to shut that thing down at some point if we had gotten overload. And we got permits that we have to abide by. And I keep, as I said, we're within permit. But we bust permit, and we got bigger issues that we have to deal with. And it's not just one industry. It's our whole community. So,
right.
So I'll leave it at that, but just any thoughts.
I just commend Todd and Spira.
Well, 24/7. I mean, there's people it's somebody else's problem, but God always figures it out.
Yes, Pat Pruitt said these were historical amounts of effluent coming out of what the CBOD did.
Yeah.
How many pounds? What was the maximum? There's a lot of people in here probably wondering what that was.
Yes.
And they'd understand it because I won't.
Yes.
But something, it sounds like a lot.
I don't want to misspeak, so I don't want to give the actual number because I didn't look at that before I came in. But it was more than we had ever seen, and it was more than twice what we typically see. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
And thank your people, too, because it sounds like it required a lot of folks to do more work than they normally would have to do. So
that I probably helped.
There's a lot of things going on with settleability and things like that as we get older sludge. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay, commission member, well, that concludes reports. No old business, so we're going to move into new business. The first item on our new business was bid results for the 4th Street Water and Sewer Replacement.
Aaron's not here today. I'm going to let Travis Trapone present.
I think we've heard a little bit about this already, so
do a quick project overview. All right, so the street department's going to be working in the area replacing 4th Street. So we're going to come in before then and replace the water and sewer down 4th Street. We have a, looks like 3,200 feet of water line will be changing out, 2,400 feet of sewer main, including 18 manholes. In regards to this 4th Street corridor here, we've had four water breaks, which have resulted in over 100 man hours. That's just been in the last 8 months. So you can tell that it's much needed in this area. So with that being said, Steep Creek, a little bitter. I'll get us there. Steep Creek was a little bitter. They came in at $2,542,198.02. Yes, sir?
The only question is this someone we've worked with before? You look at those other bids and you've got a fairly significant difference in those. Are these people we know and people we have confidence in?
We've worked with Steep Creek on the decommissioning of our Pantry and Berry Farm stations.
Okay.
Communication was incredible. Work ethic was...
Well, I assume because you all have made that recommendation, but again, those numbers were had some differences there, so just wanted to ask that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have engineering staff is recommending to accept the bid from Steep Creek LLC in the bid amount of $2,542,198.02.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to accept the Steep Creek bid on 4th Street.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the bid results for the Blossom Way sewer main lining. Brian, are you got that one?
As I mentioned before, there's going to be two different contracts to address the emergency repairs on the fiberglass reinforced pipe that runs between Pauline and Whitaker Parkway and I guess that would be up around Mercy Way behind the hospital. So this is going to be the first of those contracts. This is a cured-in-place pipe. It'll be UV lining, UV-cured lining technology. And so this was portions of the pipe. Commissioners will remember we showed the videos, and there was some water seeping in. And so these are sections of pipe that were still structurally sound. They weren't excessively oval or had large failures in them. And so we did bid this out. This is mostly all 30 inch lining. So it's a large diameter lining project. We did receive five bids, Ace Pipe being the lowest bidder at $2,096,854. I'm sorry, I should have been scrolling here, but this is the lining area, pretty much all the way from just East Hospital all the way down to Pauline Whitaker. And there's our five bids.
So we're lining what we can line, and then we're going to have to replace.
Excavate and repair.
What's the life of that lining?
Well, if you ask the lining.
The lining. Once we put the lining in there, assuming that there's no damage, to get us by another 5, 10, 15, how many years is?
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the.
I won't hold you to.
It's decades. It is a long-term.
Okay.
It is a long-term repair.
It's a long-term fix.
It is a long-term fix.
Okay.
I'd make a motion to accept.
Second.
Motion second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved to basically approve the bid from Ace Pipe in the amount of $2,096,854. Okay, thank you. All right, next item would be the bid results for the 2025 RW Asphalt Rehab. Travis. Welcome back.
Thank you. Long time no see.
There is.
The scope of work, we'll be doing a crack repair and a seal coat for 11 different RWU sites. to include the RW admin building here, LPCF, and about 9 different lift stations. The seal coat and crack repair is just going to enhance durability, appearance, and longevity. So we had 4 different bids on this project. And we had Cyrus Services LLC as the low bidder in at $79,196.20. The engineering staff is recommending to accept the bid from Cyrus Service LLC for the bid amount of $79,196.20.
Do we know why they're so much lower? Did you see anything, any call-outs in the bid?
Mobilization was a small portion of that. Other than that, their seal coat, I think, come in a little bit cheaper than the rest.
Well, Red Rock didn't want the business.
No, sir.
Well, I'd make Are a they, motion to...
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd say either that or something. We're all missing.
There was a pretty big gap there from your high bidder to your low bidder.
Correct.
Besides Red Rock, which would be a good way to explain.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I'm sorry. Interrupted.
No, you're fine. Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve Cyrus Service LLC, the rehab project for $79,196.20.
Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. Next one is the design proposal for the water master plan update. That's a big one. And thank you for all of the recent people who are here. All right.
So this is going to be the biggest project that RW has undertaken in a long time, probably since the major plant upgrade. And it's one of the driving factors in our sewer rates from our last study. This was a recommendation that came out of the wastewater master plan to complete this project. These improvements will affect every aspect of the sewer treatment plant except for solids handling, which we're currently under construction with that portion. This is a large engineering proposal. It's $11,504,900. Preliminary estimates for construction are about $118 million. And so, you know, one metric that we look at for these engineering contracts are, you know, are they around that 10%, 9 or 10% design cost of construction? And this is right there in that ballpark. I believe Freeze had estimated a little around 51,000 man hours of labor to get this job done. We believe we've covered all of our bases. Staff recommends approval of this engineering proposal. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I'm sure Nichols would as well.
Commission members, any questions, comments? It is a long undertaking, but it's something that we've definitely... Staff recommends the authorization of the agreement. So with that, I'd entertain a motion.
So before I make a motion, I sat through Skyline this past week, and the discussion was highly around water and sewer capacity in Northwest Arkansas County. And so I commend you guys on getting ahead of this expansion. I mean, we're probably late, but it's good. You guys are doing it, so thank you very much, and I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
We have a motion second. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the staff authorization to enter the agreement with Friesen Nichols for the Rogers Pollution Control Facility. And it's, again, it's a lump sum. It's the contract over a period of time,
$11,504,900. So, Mr. Chairman, would you read the last sentence there?
Staff further requests the authorization to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement.
I do want to point out that this will, to the bid phase. There will be an amendment for design services during bidding and construction, which we also budgeted for long term. So do you want to point that out for you?
Okay.
What is the time frame we're looking at here?
We're looking at about 18 months of design from the kickoff until the completion of the final design. Now, what we'll have to work through in there is we're planning on releasing two work packages. First one will be the equalization basin, so another $6.5 million approximately to the equalization, which will give us some buffer when we have those rain events to get the other improvements completed. So while that's under construction, we'll be finalizing the design on the rest of it. We are also working on getting CMAR contract on board, so you know this will all be done with contractors input early in the process. So as we start working through those exact timelines, I'll have a better schedule for you once we kind of get everybody on board. But right now we're looking at about 18 months, is my understanding.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item will be the engineering design amendment for Oak Street improvements. That's 28th Promenade.
Okay. So this came through my DocuSign in the city of Rogers to ask us to sign the task authorization for actually design work that has already been done, really between 2019 and 2022. Craft and Toll perform line services for water and sewer associated with the Oak Street project from 28th Street over the Promenade. So that's the Oak Street with a bridge across turbine design expenses. But I am asking for authorization up to $105,000. Okay. I will say that this project comes back, we're probably going to have to redesign some of that on the east side of the bridge because that's where the fire department training center and dog kennels and RW's future field facility and parks. It's going to be basically a city campus over there, so a lot of those utilities will probably have to be redesigned.
Okay. As we have a recommendation, staff request authorization to reimburse the city in an amount up to $105,000 for the design services pending a full review of backup documentation of design expenses. And with that, a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the authorization. The next one we have is the ninth development cessation proposal for the 9th Street development.
Yes. So back in 2021, we had a project that was 9th Street townhomes. And there's a 12-inch water line. It's approximately 1,000 feet that was built in the mid-60s. And it's running through this project. The commission had approved a dissipation in this project to replace that line with ductile iron at an estimated cost of about $270,000. And there was also some sewer work involved in that. The project was redesigned. In the meantime, we finished our band's sewer project, which addressed the sewer side of it. We're still dealing with an old water line that we would rather the developer not work around. We would rather just have it replaced as part of this project. And so they actually had bids this time and came up with a much lower ask to replace that water line with the project at $191,212.16. So staff requests authorization to enter into this facilities extension contract with D.R. Horton, and further requests authorization to negotiate the final form and content of this facilities extension agreement. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I'm not sure if I could send it. I can pull up the map if you'd like to see this.
So again, for us, we have a request for authorization to enter the extension contract with D.R. Horton. Special condition participating in the replacement of an existing water line not to exceed $191,212.16. Staff further authorization to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement. And then just a note, I don't know if it needs to be in there or not, but it says the agreement supersedes a previous request approved by our commission on December of 21 to participate in the 9th Street Townhomes project. So with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Brian, where exactly is this? I don't need a map. I probably know. I just can't picture it in my head.
There was a subdivision that was recently put in called Cottonwood Subdivision. I'm trying to think. It's on South 8th Street. If you go to South 8th Street, some of those businesses down there, this is about a block to the west. So it would be north of Price Lane.
I
think Superior Auto Group has a body shop, right?
Yeah.
On the north side of it.
That's what came to my mind.
I can show up on GIS here.
This is the real GIS.
Yeah, this is.
Not the one you look at and go, I don't think that's right.
This area right here.
It's further.
This is a 24-inch transmission main, and this is the 12-inch main that was built about at the same time as this original transmission main that fed the city.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Travis, that gets you what you need.
Yeah, you bet.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
You probably didn't get everything you need. Okay. Thank you, sir. And then the last item, janitorial services contract award.
Hello. A little bit of supporting information. So RWU is currently paying KBS Services, formerly Bravo, $46,798 a year for janitorial services. After many attempts to address some ongoing service issues, we have determined that the cleaning services by KBS are no longer meeting our needs in the RWU. Staff solicited bids and had 6 responses. David's Custom Cleaning was the low bid at $39,900. We did check references, and they do have contracts with state agencies, and they're also headquartered here in Arkansas. So staff recommends accepting the low bid from David's Custom Cleaning, $39,000.
Commission, you have a staff recommendation. I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Kathy?
Second.
Nay. Any further discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Man.
Motion carries to approve David's Custom Cleaning, the amount of $1,900, and that is an annual contract to begin, when is it normally? August, is that?
We'll need to go through the process of exiting our current service provider, and then, so I would assume the next two.
Okay.